Hey, you. Yes, you guessed 10,542. Change your username. And while you're in a More Like Radio live page listening to fine quality programming, notice the banner ad just slightly above the chat room? It's a link to something you want in Amazon. Click it. It's probably reminding you to order something you need from Amazon.com. Don't leave MLR and type the URL like a sucker. Just click the link and it'll open in a new window. This way you can buy your shit and continue listening to the show. Now, change your username. It's right there on the right, stupid.
MoreLikeRadio.com, the new standard in internet radio. The Nerd Hour.
Tattoos and touchdowns.
The Sunny Show.
You're listening to The Shoot.
Trust us, we're hot.
Masters of none.
360 on 420.
Welcome to the Cut Print Film Podcast.
The Conti and Kenny Show.
It's Daytime Divas with Marianne and Kitty.
OSW Review.
Antisocial Gamer Radio.
Alcohol by volume.
This is Unsigned with J5.
It's time for Dutch and Royce.
No! Welcome to Rage Quit Radio.
Get ready for Hippo Juice.
Time for the Rage.
Mark Radio.
The Elvis and Albert Show.
Cousin Joe Show.
Radio Meltdown.
It's High Society Radio.
Brainstorm Radio.
It's all about me with Halls and Rorschach.
Shy kids.
Daddy Warpus.
Orange Room.
Warlock Radio!
Hey, listeners. Yes, that means you. Missed your favorite More Like Radio shows live? No problem. Just go to morelikeradio.com/downloads. That's morelikeradio.com/downloads. More Like Radio's RSS feed works with your iThings, Zooms, Androids, Windows Phone, and anything else that can subscribe to an RSS feed. If you're so awesome that you only get your podcasts from iTunes, you can subscribe to our feed in iTunes by clicking the Subscribe to iTunes link right on the Downloads page. So what are you waiting for? Download More Like Radio podcasts and subscribe to our feed now. Yes, right now. Do it.
Obviously, it was... Oh, never mind. I'm not going to explain it, but...
No, explain radio to Ashley.
Are you sitting comfortably? Then I'll begin. Would you mind taking Colin for a walk about 8?
Just 2,000 hours. Oh, yeah.
Now here's your host, that's Ashley, and this is...
Antisocial Gamer Radio.
Everyone, hopefully you're all okay wherever it is you are listening to this, whenever it is you're listening to this. This is Antisocial Game Radio, live on morelikeradio.com, as per usual. It's been a weird week for gaming. I mean, literally, I mean, we've had the Call of Duty trailer come out, and basically the internet has exploded, which is good, okay, I guess. You know, it's been good stuff, and, you know, bad stuff about it. Mainly bad stuff from my point of view, to be honest. But it seems okay. But that is going to be part of what I'm going to be talking about tonight, as it's, you know, still fresh news. And the trailer's got like 14.5 million views on YouTube. So that's one of the things. And, you know, talk about vehicular combat. That's going to be another thing I'm going to talk about. But first of all, we'll talk about, you know, how you can, if I can say it, interact and contact the show. So if you want to email us, it's antisocialgameradio@yahoo.co.uk. You want to be part of our Facebook group, it's facebook.com/MLRGamerLobby. Also, give us a like on Facebook, it's facebook.com/antisocialgameradio. And also, if you want to follow us on Twitter, it's at MLRGamerRadio. I have played a little bits and pieces, more than last week. Actually, you know, put some effort in and actually picked something up and played. Metal Gear Solid, I'm still trying to do my, silent but deadly playthrough on that. That's going well. I'm sort of near the end of the first main area. I'm doing it on easy. I'm not in a hurry for it. I mean, because literally, I'm 3 war weeks, and I think I get my PlayStation 4, and I'll be playing Watch Dogs nonstop. And there's other bits and pieces. I really am thinking about picking up Final Fantasy 14, because I was listening to Limit Break Radio, and they make it sound so good to play, and the graphics are good, and it just looks like a lot of fun. And I've been hearing that they're putting like the sort of golden saucer from Final Fantasy 7 into it. So yay, lots of fun, and tons of stuff I want to do. So I might just pick that up and play that for a little while till I get bored. But Metal Gear Solid, that's been a bit of what I've been playing. I'm thinking about picking up Child of Light. Now, I've seen various videos on this, and I wasn't too sure what it was. I thought, I'll wait till it comes out, then have a look at some videos. And it's like sort of puzzly RPG sort of fairy tale. And it looks, the graphics are amazing, because it's all art style. It's like storybook animation, watercolors, and it's very calm colors. It looks very good. I mean, I think I'll just pick it up tomorrow and sort of play through it for a couple of days. I say usual Pokemon thing. I'm sort of ready. I've done some breeding on this Pokemon that I needed. I sort of tested it out the other day. It seemed to be okay. So I'm sort of, I think I'm pretty much ready for the the Nationals in a couple of weeks, which I'm looking forward to. I can't wait to go, just to get out of London for a little while and go up north for a bit. So that's going to be my main thing that I'm looking forward to doing. A bit of Pokemon here and there. I have been basically sort of going through trying to make sure that I have one of every evolutionary line as best as I can be with the best moves and stats, and just doing that all the way through. I've done about 40 or 50 at the moment, so it's going well. There's only like about 300 or something to go, because if you scale them down from being, the 600, I think it's 6, no, hang on. No, it's 719, whether you count Diancie or not, I don't know, but it should be roughly along those lines. But yeah, I say I have been messing around, and I evolved my shiny Eevee into a shiny Umbreon, and that looks nice. Just doing bits and pieces, really. There's not much coming out, but I say I have been doing the usual, watching videos of the Ultimate Sidemen, and other stuff I'm thinking about picking up is probably like FIFA 14 for my PlayStation 4. Some other bits and pieces. I mean, it's really weird. I mean, I download all the videos I get from, I think it's, oh, Game Trailers. I think those are the people I, one sec, let me check. Game Trailers on their iTunes app. I download them and I watch all their sort of trailers. And they posted we're getting a teaser trailer for the new NHL game, which it puzzled me because, EA Sports and their sports games are basically annual things. We'll get, I mean, apart from the basketball, which is hit or miss with them, pretty much FIFA, Madden, NHL, we get them every year, and they posted some sort of teaser trailer of some ice rink. I'm not sure if it was real ice rink or in-game graphics, but I mean, sure, these days with stuff like this, it doesn't really matter. But it's like, you're probably, because this is the first game that's going to come out on the next-gen systems, on the current-gen systems. It's not really much of a tease. It's just, I don't know. It's one of those things. I think I sort of feel that some people are trying too hard at such an early stage. It's just kind of weird to see, really. I mean, because, we've got E3 in a couple of weeks, and now there's all this stuff. I mean, I have the news articles I've got some stuff about Microsoft with their, their press conference, when that's going to happen, what it's going to be about. It's just, there's stuff hitting, like rumours and speculation, just stuff everywhere. And it's like, some of it's good news, but it's like, I'd rather not hear about any sort of rumours or speculations and just wait until the actual event. I mean, you know how these companies are and all the gaming sites. Basically, no one can keep secrets. But no, I say I'm looking forward to E3. It's going to be a lot of fun when it happens. I, you know, look forward to it, to be honest. It's going to be some eye-openers, some new stuff. And I mean, to be honest, we've already got this the Call of Duty stuff they're talking about. But I'm going to talk about that in a second. I want to get into my main topic this week, which is basically vehicular combat. I say I'm a big fan of, like, you know, sort of, you know, the action games first. You know, I mean, to be honest, it's not really to do with, like, third-person action games. It's more to do with, like, the first-person stuff, like your online games I'm focusing on. But, I mean, you know, as I've said this story many a time, I mean, one of my favourite interactions with vehicles was, you know, Call of Duty 3 on the Xbox 360. You know, one of the levels where you could have a tank and there was Jeeps and, you know, just it had fun with it. I mean, my my main problem, I would love to be the big Battlefield fan that everyone else is when it comes to multiplayer. But I don't feel it. It feels, I mean, that's probably why I haven't played Call of Duty in a couple of years. But it just, I want something that feels, I don't know, safe. I'm not sure what the exact wording is to use, but it's, when I had played not Battlefield 4, but Battlefield 3. I did play that when it came out. A little bit of the multiplayer. A lot of fun, but it just felt, I don't know, it didn't feel right. I mean, you know, even the shooting and stuff, it just sort of felt, okay, someone's killed me. I mean, maybe it's because I've expected, maybe I've just expected so much from, you know, no, maybe it's because I've experienced so much from playing stuff like Call of Duty. It's like changing over to things like Battlefield from basic, you know, where you get your kill cam and there'd be, you know, that sort of stuff. But maybe, you know, Battlefield should look to, you know, EA should look towards what, you know, Activision's doing with its thing. Make it, I don't know, not make something similar, but it just, I don't know, put some training. I think that's what it is. Basically, Call of Duty is your first-person shooter for people who like games with training wheels on. But, I don't know. It's weird for me to explain, you know, logically. But, you know, I'll give it a go, as I usually do. But, no, I mean, I do like Battlefield, what they do with multiplayer. And I love hearing people's enthusiasm for it. I just wish I had that sort of enthusiasm. And, you know, with the vehicle stuff, I mean, there's so many different vehicles. And that's the thing. I'm being an English bloke, I don't drink tea, which, you know, half the people have probably fainted listening to this. No, a lot of people I know, most of the people I know drink tea. I'm like probably the world's worst English person. You know, I like baseball and I don't drink tea. But it's you know, stuff like that, or coffee, for instance. I wish I had the taste for coffee, and I hear people talk, you know, fucking Starbucks and get your frapper, fucker, chino, whatever, you know, all that bullshit. I wish I could have that sort of feeling towards this sort of shit. I mean, last year at the last live event, hanging out with Royce and Marie, it was like, yeah, we're in the hotel and there was a Starbucks there. And, it, you know, Marie was getting whatever coffee bullshitty thing, and I'm like, yes, can I have a cream and strawberry smoothie, please? You know, I was like that. I was like, you know, it's basically the only thing that looked tasty on the menu. Because other stuff, I'm like, yeah, I don't really drink coffees and teas, and, you know. But, you know, it was, I don't know, it was just basically the way I was. But yeah, no, that sort of like is a thing with Battlefield. It's like, I don't have the taste for it that I should have. I don't know what it is. I don't know, maybe it's just, I know I'm not the best at gaming, so I'm pretty shit. I mean, I don't know. I do what I can. But it's just, I just sort of wish there was a game that had, that was a similar, that was a basically a bit of what Call of Duty is and a bit of, you know, a bit of what Battlefield is. But, I mean, I think back to stuff, I mean, you know, I mean, sort of go back to what I said about Call of Duty 3. That was probably the best mix of, you know, what it was, you know, which is surprising for a Treyarch game. It was the mix of, you know, your vehicles and your, you know, your on-foot stuff. But, I mean, as I say, I am a big fan. I mean, you know, I'm looking forward to picking up my, you know, my Xbox One when I do get that eventually. It's probably going to be next year now, considering I've got, like, you know, I've got, bought myself a new phone and I've got a new laptop to buy for my book stuff. And, you know, so probably the Xbox One probably won't be until, like, next year now. But, you know, I will be getting stuff like Titanfall on it. But, you know, I mean, I look forward to the big... See, that's the main sort of... I'm really worried about the console generation that we are in now with what we have. I mean, because I want, as I said, you know, last week, I want these big epic games. I want these great store. I want, like, every game to be like what Mass Effect was with, you know, Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3. And I want... that I want the stories to be that good. I want the gameplay to be that good. I want the graphics. You know, I have higher expectations for what we're getting with the current consoles. And I want more with what we're getting with the new stuff. You know, I want what we had, but double of it. And, you know, that reflects to the vehicle combat. I mean, because that's the thing. Because of... I mean, this all relates to what I'm going to talk about in a few moments with the Call of Duty stuff. I mean, we're getting a lot of... Well, we know we're getting not a lot of what we want. I mean, I don't want, like, two companies making the first-person shooter games. I want several companies making different first-person shooter games with different feelings and different tastes, because we are pretty much, you know, it seems like all we're getting is McDonald's and KFC when it comes to first-person shooters. We're not getting the Burger, you know, no one fucking wants Burger King. It's terrible. You know, we should be getting, you know, side options and other options, you know, other avenues, like, you know, more competition between the companies, like for different companies. That's what would make me laugh if we got stuff that was just different, really. I mean, because we are having so much with these games costing so much money. I mean, I think I've got an article about the Destiny costing, was it $500 million to make? You know, These games now, that, you know, have to be so high spec. You know, you've got your graphics, you got your gameplay. You know, it's all got to be top notch stuff. We're coming to expect, and I don't know if deserves the right word to use, but we should be getting better from the companies. And basically, there are companies out there that can't do it. That basically just, you know, falling by the wayside. As you know, was it THQ and was it Bizarre Creations who did the shit? I can't remember the racing game they did, but they did like Geometry Wars and stuff like that. But it's like, yeah, all these great companies that are making these great games, and they just can't keep up with what's going on with the current stuff. I mean, you know, we're getting all these companies folding into each other and, you know, mergers and stuff like this. And it's like, yeah, you're taking all the good stuff, but you're not making anything else. I mean, you know, back when I bought my PlayStation 3, I had, Full Auto 2, which was a great, basically vehicle combat game. That's the thing. There's been so many great games, like, with evolving vehicles over the years. We've had, you know, one of the things I used to go around my mate's house and play all the time, Vigilante 8. Great game, basically. Several different cars with different story. I mean, it's basically the same shit. It was basically you're in this car that you chose and can use different weapons, and you'd pick up other weapons, like, you know, mines or cannons or whatever it was. And you'd go around and you'd basically blow the shit out of other people in their vehicles with their weapons. And you basically just do that for several levels until you finish the game. and multiplayer was fun because you could do that all the time. But yeah, I mean, it's basically Vigilante 8, if it were, I'm still not too sure, it's basically Twisted Metal, but by a different studio. But yeah, stuff like Twisted Metal, which just came back, tried to come back a few years ago with on the PlayStation 3, and I don't think it did that well. I don't really remember anyone being... I mean, everyone was pleased to see it, but I don't think it did that well. But that's me just not really having a clue, to be honest. But, I mean, that's the thing. With this new generation of stuff, there is so much... there's so much we can do with what we're seeing, you know, that what we've got. But it's up to the actual companies and developers to make this stuff. I mean, you know, when it comes to vehicle combat, stuff like, you know, Ace Combat, I think Ace Combat is one of the only, like, modern, you know, jet fighter, you know, fighter plane game out there. I mean, there's been World War II ones that we've got over the past, you know, 10 years. You know, there's just been a lack of, I mean, it's not really stuff to play, it's just lack of interest in what's coming out, but you've got to make something good enough to entice our interests. And that's what makes me wonder, is like, if we're not going to get, you know, if by the time we get to the end of this console generation, will there be a great substantial number of, you know, fighter jet games, car combat games. I mean, I wouldn't mind if we got Destruction Derby back. That'd be great, you know. A new Twisted Metal, stuff like that. You know. My main worry is, I mean, Charles, it's like a worry, but it's probably a positive worry. You know, Titanfall, as great as it looks and great as it plays and all I've been hearing from people, I'm worried that we are going to get a bunch of clones of the game. Which just wouldn't be a bad thing. It wouldn't be a bad thing if it was done well. My main worry is that it's... Yeah, I don't know. If we do get it, it, you know, it could be done badly. It might be done well. Just, you know, try and be positive about these things. That's the best thing I can do, to be honest. But no, I mean, there's so much stuff that we could get from... I mean, one of the vehicle combat stuff, I mean, I'm a big fan of, you know... I mean, it was not the last Ace Combat that we got the... that, oh, I can't remember what the fuck it was called. Ace, basically, where you could go into dogfight mode and it would sort of zoom you through the cockpit. You know, I mean, the ones before that, you know, Ace Combat 3, 4, you know, those ones, you know, the good ones, when it was, you know, basically it was like... giant super weapons and stuff. It was crazy, sort of bullshitty sort of stuff. That was great. But, I mean, we should be getting more in-depth with this sort of stuff. I mean, what I did like, we got the last end of the last console generation. Even though it didn't do too well and probably didn't play too well either, but it looked nice, and basically what you could do was interesting to me. Was Steel Battalion with the Kinect. You know, that was a game, you know, to actually fully utilise... what the Kinect was and what you could do with it. I mean, you know, it's, you know, the Kinect isn't the greatest thing in the world. I mean, my mate, I was talking to my mates at work today, I was talking about, you know, playing my PlayStation 4 and, you know, stuff I'm going to play in that. But it's like, with the PlayStation 4 controller, it has the touchpad. What developers are going to use that, you know, the touchpad with, you know, with any other game, what can you use this for? What, why would you do this when you have, you know, a joystick, directional pad, buttons, all this sort of stuff? And it's like, well, trying to find a use for it. But that's the thing when it comes to you know, vehicle combat games, it's like there has to be a market for what they want. And basically that's my worry, is that the market isn't going to be strong enough when if they wanted to make this sort of stuff. I mean, that's why, you know, a few weeks ago you heard me talk about Micro Machines, sort of trying to push that far, because literally there is a huge demand and market for it. I mean, a bunch of people I played at work, picked up people I work with, I talked to them about what I talked to, you know, I talked to Eurogamer and Codemasters about what we want to see, and I talked, you know, I talked to my sister, because me and her, we used to play Micro Machines all the damn time. You know, we have to sort of create a demand for the stuff that we need to see, but... it's sort of, you know, I'm thinking now, literally, I'm, you know, thinking out loud again, but it's like, if we create a high enough demand for it, it might just turn into what I said last week about Nintendo with basically Nintendo, all you need is one type of game. And literally, me and my mate talked about this at work today as well. It's like, you know, you're only going to need on any device that Nintendo puts out, you're only going to need one Mario, you're only going to need one Zelda, you know, one Metroid, that sort of stuff. That's basically what it's wrapped up to. And my worry is that if, you know, that we don't get enough sales on these games. But see, that's the thing. It takes basically us, you know, the people with the wallets and the developers and their companies to put money into this stuff and get the right people to work on it. And, you know, and then it will drive up interest. I mean, you look at how many fucking like zombie games we're getting, how many first-person shooter games we're getting. And, you know, I'm going to get to the Call of Duty stuff in a second. It makes me wonder, it's like, there was more demand for this sort of stuff, whereas we've got, you know, loads of demand for other stuff, other things are going to, you know, other game genres are basically going to fall by the wayside, and that's my worry. That really is. But yeah, that's pretty much it, really, because it's not really much of a topic. I mean, I want to see Titanfall clones, but good ones. I want to see maybe more Vigilante 8, more Twisted Metal. You know, basically anything that you can sort of jumping and pilot. I mean, that's what got me excited for the that Star Citizen game. The fact that you can jump in this your own spaceship and you can fly around. I mean, this all, and it all goes back to what I said last week about, you know, you level up your ship and you get access, you know, like online multiplayer. Basically taking the MMO stuff, but without the old cash incentive. It's, you know, it's like you don't have to pay. If you want to play, you know, basically, you know, what these free-to-play MMOs are doing, where you can pay for parts as you need. But, to be honest, I mean, it would be a pain in the ass, I think, if sort of it was in vehicle games, because, you know, you pay whatever, you know, $2, £1.50 for new cannons or whatever it is, because it's not much people will buy this shit, and it will basically, you know, that, see, I know I'm feeling very negative, but you get the game developers listening to what I'm saying, and they'll be very positive about, yeah, oh yeah, we could do this, we could do that, we could charge this, and people will buy, because, you know, when it comes to stuff like combat games, you know, the person with the bigger gun wins. And that would happen with our, you know, with our, basically with our games right now. It would, you know, if there was, you know, items that you could buy outright that you didn't need to unlock, people would. I mean, I know with Call of Duty and stuff, they've gone through several different things with this about how to do the, you know, when you level up, you get coins, and yeah, you know, it's gone several different ways, and most of it negative from my view, but whatever. But no, I mean, just that would actually drive, even though it would be really bad for the games if it was like, you know, we say we had like some sort of, you know, say Star Citizen, it was like, you know, and you could pay whatever for new guns or whatever, instead of just having to go through the game to get enough whatever points to level up your whatever, and then once you reach like level 16, you'd get the ultra gun or something stupid like that. It's one of those things. It's positive, you know. Sorry, it's negative, but there are a lot of positive effects to it. I mean, you know, if the free to pay, you know, if sort of things, stuff like this, where you could basically do what EA does with unlock codes, that sort of stuff. You basically just pay into, well, just basically do stuff like that. Then you would have interest from these companies, and we would get more games. But it would be sort of falsified if it did. But yeah, I mean, you know, we could, it's one way of looking at it to get an interest in vehicle combat games. And, you know, it's one of those sort of sub little niche genres that's not really part of the big picture. It's very, you know, small and off to the side, you know, it's a weird thing to talk about, to be honest. But I mean, I have a great love for most genres, to be honest. And you know, I just want to sort of that feeling. It's like, yep, let's jump in this tank, and go and blow the shit out of it. Basically, because this is sort of the thing I got when I, you know, wrapping it all back to get with the Call of Duty 3. That's the sort of feeling I got from playing Call of Duty 3. It's like, yep, I jump in a tank, I'd have whatever weapon class that I was, and I just sort of beat my horn, and two other blokes would jump in the car, and we'd sort of like whiz around the map and then try and take out as many soldiers before they could get into a tank, or set ourselves up with like someone if I had like the rocket launcher, and then we could take out the tank and, you know, just have some fun with this shit. That's my whole thing. It's like, basically, that's the thing with any game, to be honest. I want to have fun with it. And basically, so does everyone else. I mean, yes, there's people who take it too far. And, you know, that's basically the Major League Gaming and all these gaming competitions and stuff like that. You know, I mean, just, I have fun with my Pokemon stuff, like my national thing. It's like, I don't have no interest in... I mean, just, if I went through to nationals, I'd be... You know, if I got through to Worlds, I'd be happy because... It's quite funny the fact that we don't have any regionals. We just have a straight up nationals, whereas people in the States go through to regionals and then they have to go to nationals. Whereas people over here, I think Germany's had theirs the other week. I think Italy's got theirs at the end of this month. You know, we don't have to worry too much about this sort of stuff. It just, you know, happens. But that's the thing. I say, I want to have fun with these games, and just, we can't have fun with these sort... Well, I want to have fun with these certain genres, which we can't do if there are no games in that genre category. You know, I want your spaceship adventure games. I want your vehicle combat games. I want, you know, a first-person shooter where, you know, it doesn't feel like something I've played before. And this is going to lead perfectly into me talking about Call of Duty now. We have got the new Call of Duty trailer. It's about 3 minutes or so long. I've watched it several times. It's okay, but it's oh, shit, sorry. Just knock the microphone. It's more of what we've already seen, and that disappoints me. I mean, you know, it's got Kevin Spacey, which people are going nuts for. I'm like, okay, yeah, it's Kevin Spacey. I mean, I saw some post on the thing saying it would be better if he was Kaiser Soze, which I thought was very fucking funny. And trust me, it would be a lot more interesting if he was Kaiser Soze, to be honest. But no, this whole new thing, from what I've had a look at the trailer, basically, it's sort of gone down the Metal Gear Solid route with the story. If, you know, because like I say, I am playing Metal Gear Solid at the moment. We have in, it's like PMCs, like privates, military, corporations, contracts, whatever that C stands for, I don't know, cunt or something. But it's like, we get in, you know, it's no longer about, say, America versus Russia, or, you know, England versus Germany, or, you know, France against, I don't know, Baylor Hay or something. You know, it's basically down to Company A versus Company A fighting in Country D with who are against Country C, and it's like, I mean, my whole look at the trailer, because I have watched it several times, and it does make you think that it's basically the main character you're going to play is fighting against the PMC group, which is being frontline beat by Kevin Spacey. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot. It's called Advanced Warfare, whereas the new one for this current generation, the last console generation was called Modern Warfare. So you see where they're going. You know, I'm just thinking for the next Xbox, is it going to be called like Futuristic Warfare, or I mean, because it does. I mean, supposedly it's like set. If I can click, it's supposedly set in the near future. I mean, they have like exoskeletons and sort of, you know, sort of helmets where you've got different vision settings on it. Like night goggles are built in and they're protected, and you know, it does look good. The graphics look good, and from what we're seeing, it's because I think it's what irks me about this. It is pretty much set piece, set piece, set piece, set piece, and that is the same old shit. That's what pisses me off. You know, I talk about the vehicle combat stuff. It's what we're getting with the Call of Duty stuff. It's like, you've got, you know, you basically, it's, you know, you have your McDonald's first-person shooter and you have your KFC first-person shooter. You know, you know, you got your McDonald's with your Call of Duties, and you got your KFC with your Battlefields, and it just feels, and that's the negative that I am getting from a lot of people. It's, and for myself, it's like, oh look, another Call of Duty game, and you know, coming from Activision, who managed to fucking destroy several game series by ramming them into the ground, doesn't say a lot, to be honest. But I mean, there is a lot to be looked forward to. I mean, just as I say, E3's in a couple of weeks. I'm looking forward to seeing actual gameplay. I mean, they showed, I mean, in the trailer you can see some bits where it goes first person, so I'm going to guess that's the in-game stuff. And this is all from what they're showing in the trailer. It's all single player. So, you know, I mean, just they're making a lot of, there's a lot of hype around this because it is like the first, I don't know if it can be said that, if it's the first game that's solely coming out on this, you know, on the PlayStation 4 or the Xbox One, whereas, you know, Ghosts has come out and so has Battlefield, but I don't know. I mean, I've got a whole bunch of bits and pieces and topics and stuff, not topics, but articles on this, which I will, so I'm trying to find some earlier stuff that I've found. Okay. Hang a sec. Here we go. Yeah, I'll go with that. But yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to playing this. If it entices me to actually want to pick up a Call of Duty game, which I haven't done for a couple of years, then I'll pick it up. But it just sort of, it's another Call of Duty. It's one of those things. It's I'm sick to tired of this same old shit. You have either choice A or choice B. I want a fucking choice C. I want, you know, some company out there. I mean, I think choice C basically is Titanfall. But there's just nothing. It's, you know, companies are folding left and right. There's mergers going happening as well, and certain key, you know, team members are being pulled from here and there to work on different things. So, you know, we'd have the, what do you call it? Shit, we have the Amy Hennig thing from Uncharted moving to EA to do, moving to over to EA to do the new Star Wars game, which probably going to suck a bunch of dicks. But we don't know yet. So we'll have to wait and see. I mean, as well, say about choice C, I'm looking at the ad for it right now on the IGN website where I'm getting this article from. Destiny, that could be choice C. I mean, there's a speeder bike, which I talked about last week, which I'm probably going to go into game tomorrow and pick it up and pre-order this. And hopefully I can get onto the beta as well from your PlayStation 4. That'd be sweet. But yeah, I'll start reading this article. I mean, you know, I'm so skeptical, but it's still early and we haven't seen anything on it yet, and you know, it's all rumour and speculation. But here we go. Anyway, the trailer for Call of Duty Advanced Warfare has dropped and made one thing very apparent. Sledgehammer Games' new first-person shooter is going to be a game-changer. How so? Well, we collected 11 things from the trailer that have us more excited about Call of Duty than ever before. Oops, excuse me, sorry. We still have a lot of questions like, will this be in multiplayer? Will this affect balance? But there's no doubt about one thing. We cannot wait to find out. That's 11 things. But yeah, that's my worry. It's Sledgehammer. What the fuck happened to Infinity Ward? I mean, I'm trying to find this out. Because, you know, have Infinity Ward... I mean, cause I've got a story about Infinity Ward merger with Neversoft from the Tony Hawk games. So what the fuck happened to Infinity Ward? Are they just not bothering now? Or is it because Infinity Ward and Neversoft and whatever they're going to be called, or if it's just going to be called, I don't know, Infinity Soft or whatever. Jesus, sounds like a 80-year-old man with a erectile dysfunction. I don't know what's going to go on with them, but when I read the article out later, I'll find out. But no, I mean, 11 things here. We have the exosuits. Now, I've got to say, this from what I saw, this whole thing looks very Crysis-like. With what's going on with the powers that you can do while wearing this exosuit. But yeah, so the first thing you see in the trailer is an exosuit, and it's likely to going to be a huge part of gameplay, both in terms of combat and mobility, Its basic function gives the player enhanced strength and ability to jump extreme distances, you know, like Halo does, and enhanced strength like Halo does, and Crysis does. Will you be able to do melee attacks from afar? Possibly. I doubt it. Well, you jump over and then you punch someone. Well, yeah, we were trying to say it in the trailer. It's like, yeah, you punch someone and they went flying. Will we be able to recreate the freeway scene from The Matrix? Fuck off. Dumbasses. It's IGN. What do you expect? Number two, wall crawling. Wall climbing. It's not quite the wall running we've become accustomed to in Titanfall, which it's really weird actually seeing the trailer for the first time. It's like, okay, yep, that's from Crysis, that's from Titanfall, that's from Battlefield, that's from Titanfall, that's from, you know, it pulls a lot of shit. It's sort of weird how, you know, how far this has sort of come, but with, you know, being something we've already seen and stuff that we've already played, but whatever. I mean, so we've still got like a good 6-7 months of development to go, and you know, before it actually comes out, and we'll see how it goes. I mean, I imagine there's probably some demo they put together which should be ready for E3, but unless there is none, and you know, maybe they'll do something for Tokyo Game Show. I mean, it's just come out to like November, so we're good for a good few months anyway. It's not quite the wall running we expect from Titanfall, but wall climbing is definitely going to change traversal as we know it in the Call of Duty series. It also gives the game designers a chance to add verticality to the map design, something we've rarely seen from the franchise, except for the people who glitch and end up on top of the map just sniping at people. I've seen a whole bunch of Call of Duty 4 videos like that. However, this does not have us wondering if wall hanging will be a feature. Let's not try to imagine what campus would do that kind of power. Basically. Number three, the mech suit. Now, this is the great big, you know, thing with the Gatling gun that we saw in the trailer. I mean, you know, if you haven't seen the trailer, I think it's in the Facebook group and it's on the Facebook page and it's literally fucking YouTube. Look it up. It's, you know, it's there. You're already going to be in an exo suit, so what could the designers give you to one-up another player? How about a mech suit with a Gatling gun? We obviously don't know if this will be a multiplayer, probably be like a drop item or something, but it will immediately make us think of the last Titan standing game type in Titanfall. See, Titanfall again. Or perhaps Sledgehammer Games plans to use the bulked up mech as some form of Juggernaut. As I said, yeah, there we are. Juggernaut perk for multiplayer. Like I said, it's like a suit you get. Number five, invisibility. Camouflage that makes you invisible. Crysis. Is hardly novel from the first person shooter genre, but this is the first time that Call of Duty has gone far enough into the future for us to see it in game. We're not sure if it'll be a perk or some other form of unlockable bonus, but we're definitely interested in the possibilities. Number five, infrared grenades. Now this is a big departure from everything we know about the infrared in games. We can only assume that a grenade will have a limited area of effect and last only briefly, but a player can see through walls in a highly trafficked area is going to be a force to be reckoned with in multiplayer. It's going to be fun. You know, it's probably going to be a high, you know, to access things, it's probably going to be a high level item. You need to get, so I don't know, level 40 or something if we can access. Yeah, but they're like, it says infrared grenade, which I can see, but it sort of seems like more like a UAV thing, to be honest. It's basically, you know, you fire up a grenade, it shoots out these infrared lines, and then basically you just pings all your targets. So, but no, I'm interested. It looks pretty sweet. I'd love to, you know, it'd be great for your sort of stealthy. Your sort of stealth character class. It's just, you know, I'm talking about classes. We don't know shit yet. here's one. I wasn't too sure what this was. The light net. The power was a little more ambiguous, but it appears as if it detects enemy movements, or at least, very least, scans the terrain. While the exact benefits are unknown, it could be used to detect mines or equipment in an environment. We have more questions than answers for this one, but the blue light has us speculating intriguing about its possible functions. Now, the whole lot of stuff that I'm seeing from this, you know, the stealth, the light net, the infrared grenades, it's literally all focused on multiplayer, which is basically all everyone wants to know. I mean the cloaking, and I'm not tooting my own horn, but Crisis 3, because it was shit, to be honest. But the multiplayer in Crisis 2, I had so much fun. Turn my old stealth camo on, just killing people left and right. Just tons of fun was to be had with this. We all really want to know multiplayer stuff, and I don't know. We'll see when it comes to E3 what's going to happen in that. But here's number 7, deployable cover, which was actually really impressed me when I was watching this on trailer. Basically, just pulled this big net across, and they started firing bullets into it, and literally the bullets weren't doing bugger all. And it was really funny to see. It was, be a great... it's sort of... Think about now. It's like, yeah, how'd you get around it? Grenade. Easy enough. I don't know. That'd be quite fun if it's sort of... Yeah, they get someone. Someone throws up the deployable cover. You throw a grenade just behind them. Doesn't do the full damage, but it sort of wears them down a bit. They get thrown from the blast against the net. You quickly run over, shoot them in the head. Done. Tactics already. Now that you or a teammate can throw down cover almost everywhere, anywhere, we're guessing this will be essential for your survival on a hectic battlefield. Imagine a game of capture the flag with a few defenders using this ability. It's going to make it a whole lot harder to score points when your opponent is effectively using their cover to defend their flag or having set up a nice little sniper spot for themselves. Yeah, that'd be fucking sweet. Imagine that, in some sort of cramped... Well, that's the thing, to be honest. It makes me wonder where, there's going to have to be some great maps where you could sort of, knuckle down and sort of, put yourself somewhere and then sort of block your exit by using the deployable cover as not to protect you, but to protect people, to stop people from getting in. Because if you can't shoot through it, you have to sort of climb over it, but then you could place it somewhere that makes it awkward. A bunch of stuff. Here we are. Number 8, hover bikes, which I'm not too overly sure about the uses, but I don't know. Getting from point A to point B never looked so good. Not only do these bikes look fast, but they also have look deadly when hurdling a barrage of bullets at anyone in their way. We haven't seen manable vehicles in Call of Duty multiplayer since World at War. Wow, has it been that? See, I talked about this shit. I just did. It's like Call of Duty 3. I mean, with Call of Duty stuff, we had Call of Duty 3 with a multiplayer and World at War, and that's been it. I could have sworn there was in one of the recent ones we had vehicles. I don't know. So we'd be surprised to see hover bikes made available to play online. They said this about, I think it was Modern Warfare 2 or 3. Possibly 3, I think. Basically, we had the snow sleds. And we was like, yeah, we're going to be able to use this in multiplayer, it'll be fun, and there was nothing. Still, any big change to the series is a welcome one when in our book. Yeah, we want vehicles, number 9, new drones. This is sort of weird looking thing. Another new addition is that of new drones. Although drones have appeared in the franchise before, Advanced Warfare seems to place considerable emphasis on unmanned vehicles. We saw groups of them being dropped, being deployed in what looked like a single player portion of the game. But there's one sequence where a soldier tosses a turret drone into the air. That moment looks a lot similar to looks a lot more like something we'd see in multiplayer. Who doesn't want a buddy following them around that would fill enemies full of leads? No one that. So see, this is from Homefront. I saw this in Homefront. You could have deployable tanks or helicopters that would, if you're high enough, they had ones with guns on, but basically you can tag your enemies. It's weird. I'm very negative towards this Call of Duty, but it sort of feels like that we're getting, maybe this might be the hate to say it, like the ultimate Call of Duty. We're getting drone vehicles to spy on people, and you know, it seems like this one's got a lot going for it. They're sort of pushing the envelope on the, you know, on reality, on what we can actually do with stuff that we can't do. You know, they're mixing bits of both. But yeah, so number 10, spider tanks. Not only do we see hover bikes in the trailer, but there's also a scene that showed a spider tank terrorizing anyone that got near it. Again, we don't know if this would show up in multiplayer, but having a speedy hover bike to go up against a slow but powerful tank sounds like something that we'd like to experience online. See, now, maybe this game is actually an instant buy for me if they have vehicles. I mean, you know, just rolling around in a tank with looks like giant rocket launchers on the back. Yeah, you know, it'd be so much fun. That's to say, you know, we need fun. We need to have fun with this sort of shit. It's not about, you know, Major League Gaming and all their tournament bullshit. It's about having fun, which is the whole emphasis of why we play games, no matter being computer games or outside kicking a ball around. It's to have fun. Number 11, Kevin Spacey. We don't expect Kevin Spacey will be telling us to prepare for any kind of falls in the multiplayer, but we know that he'll be a driving force behind the campaign. Having an actor of this caliber on the cast list gives us tremendous hype for what the story of Advanced Warfare is going to offer. We already know that that Spacey can play a convincing and scary politician for his role in House of Cards, which I don't watch. So we can't wait to see what he brings to his role as a villain. If it's half as menacing as Frank Underwood, then we're all in for a treat. Yeah, they say the footage ends with a tagline, power changes everything, and it looks like definitely the case. Winning a team at Sledgehammer Games is focused on Xbox One, PlayStation 4, and PC. But how much is the new Advanced Warfare going to change the winning Call of Duty formula? Will it be a betterment for the franchise? Only time will tell. But yeah, I am very sceptical about this, as I would, because you know all we've got is basically a 3-minute trailer and a bunch of can we use that in multiplayer? Can we use that in multiplayer? I know I'm just sort of I don't know. I wonder about a whole great bunch of things when it comes to stuff like this. I mean, I look forward to seeing what's going to be happening and what we will be seeing. But it's, I don't know, maybe it's too early to get our hopes up. But I mean, just, I want to be happy about this. I mean, come E3, I'm going to be happy about a whole bunch of stuff, a lot of stuff that we're going to see and a whole lot of stuff I'm not going to be happy about. But you know, this could be good. It could be something that benefits it. That's why I'm sort of thinking, you know, that, you know, Call of Duty, maybe there is competition between the games now. We have, you know, what Halo, you know, just Halo. See, Halo's weird, right? Halo doesn't change. It just basically stays the same shit all the time. It's, you know, people play Halo, they like Halo, they don't mind, they want to do with the jetpack stuff, they want to jump around, they want to, you know, use the same gun. It's very Nintendo-y, rinse and repeat. You know, don't give them anything new, just let them just play the same old shit again and again and again. But with, you know, Call of Duty, it basically has done the same thing as well. Maybe this is the big game changer, but I don't know. I mean, maybe it's too early to say that, you know, we are going to get the big game changer with Call of Duty. Maybe all the stuff that I'm thinking about now and what does actually sort of get me excited for this game is basically going to disappoint me like pretty much most other Final Fantasy game I've played or past couple of Call of Duty games that I've played. There is no real love for, you know, what we should be getting from, you know, from the developers, because they don't want to make new stuff. They just want to do the same old shit they used to. They don't want, I mean, yes, I know there's a lot of money in to make these games these days, but you've got to fucking experiment once or twice. You've got to, you know, fucking go balls against the wall and try something new, make something different. Don't give us the same old stuff. Show us something new. Show us something that you haven't done. Don't give us a remake. Give us new stuff, you know, fresh ideas. There's, I mean, come on. I saw some article once about some developer was saying, you know, that gets people come up to him all the time, so I've got a great idea for a game, great idea for a game. And he said, well, I've already got great ideas for a game. It's like, well, shit, if the stuff I've seen for the past 10, 15 years, all these great ideas that people are having for games, it's like, well, shit, we're not getting enough, we're not getting enough new ideas. I mean, I've got a whole bunch of ideas for games. I've got, you know, bloke down the street's got ideas, you know. We all know what we want to play, and I don't know, it just seems, I don't know. I want to be excited for this game, and I'm hoping it basically does what I want, and it just sort of seems to be honest. I mean, if it plays like what Crysis played back in the good old days, and it has some vehicle combat, and I can go stealthy, and, you know, I will be happy. I will be happy to play this for now and the next couple of years, and, you know. And to be honest, I mean, as I have my PlayStation 4, if I do pick this up, it will, when I do get my PlayStation 4, if I do bother picking this up on this system, I won't have to worry about everyone on Xbox, all the old good players on Xbox One being playing Call of Duty. I can just sort of play with the good-ish players on PlayStation, but, you know, most people would probably play it on the Xbox One. See, that's the thing, is, you know, we talked now about the sales. I talked about last week about how sales of the Xbox One are and how for the PlayStation 4 and stuff like this. And it's like, well, we've got E3. We're going to get all these new these new games come to these consoles. People are going to want to play Call of Duty on your Xbox One, or they're going to want to play this on that or that console, and just so many different ways it can go. But yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to hearing good stuff. But in general, though, I've got one of the things I keep seeing all these articles that I've been reading since we had this big trailer come out, and it was like, well, is this going to be using multiplayer? As I said, but in terms of, I've got to say, yes, basically everything you've seen is going to be able to be used in multiplayer, because otherwise they wouldn't make it. What would be the point of having infrared grenades if you could use it in single player? I mean, I don't think there's many things that we've been able to use in multiplayer for Call of Duty games or any sort of first-person shooter that we haven't been able to use in multiplayer in some way or form. I mean, you look at back at Modern Warfare 3, we could use the drones in the single player, right? And we could call them in, and we could use the same thing on the multiplayer. All the different grenade types, you know, even stuff like, I'm thinking about games like Gears of War, stuff like that you could use all the shit you found and stuff in multiplayer as well as a single player. Yeah, there's so much that can be said. And, you know, I'm looking forward to it. I am. I mean, I'm having an R on it as I do, but proof is in the pudding, and I want to see some fucking pudding. But I don't know. I mean, I'm trying to see if I've got anything else. I know I've got to literally go for break in a couple of seconds, but I know I've got a bunch of stuff. You know, I've got a whole bunch of information and news and articles, and basically I've got a whole load of stuff from Microsoft, a whole bunch of stuff from Sony, and, you know, basically a bunch of other stuff I didn't get to last week. I mean, I'm looking at stuff I've missed last week, and, you know, there's the Call of Duty story that which I should have told about a week or so ago, which is very fucking funny. But yeah, I'll that's pretty much it, I think. But I'll take a quick break, because I have a whole load of news articles that I want to get to and tell you about, and I can't do that now because, literally, I need a drink and I need a rest, because I have been talking non-stop for the past hour. But I'll be back in a few minutes after these important messages.
And Ashley, you're from England, so we're not really sure what asshole number you would be. We just know it would be at least two extra numbers and one extra dash.
Yeah,
that's all we know
sign.
For sure. Yeah. It's a sort of country code.
Ladies and gentlemen, we invite you to have a go.
If you'd like to Skype in, it's Antisocial Gamer Radio. All one word.
MoreLikeRadio.com, the new standard in internet radio.
Hey
Now I'm realizing that this is all gonna be on fucking podcast. Oh boy.
I told you. Yeah,
I was trying to warn you the whole time.
Dude, I don't care. I'm voluntarily Skyping into you. Use this to make a promo. I don't care. No, dude, like I said, my fiance doesn't listen. Dutch got drunk one night. Well, he gets drunk every night. But he got drunk one night, and I used it as a promo. Why not? Use this into a promo. I give everyone permission to turn this audio into a promo. I don't care.
He also used drunk me for a promo, too, if you remember.
Punch AJ, you play it every week.
I do. Folks at home, Radio Gold like this happens every Sunday and Thursday at midnight on 360 on 420, only on morelikeradio.com.
Hey smokers, you stink worse than a dumpster. Stop living in the Middle Ages and try an electronic cigarette today by Smokeless Image. Just go to tinyurl.com/MLRsmoke. They're cheaper than regular cigarettes, don't smell, and come in a variety of flavors like fruit, mint, and traditional tobacco flavors. Order your new electronic cigarettes from Smokeless Image today by going to tinyurl.com/MLRsmoke. That's tinyurl.com/MLRsmoke.
If you're sick and tired of getting pro wrestling only after it's gone through the PG filter, then it's time you were introduced to Combat Zone Wrestling. Celebrating 15 years of ultra-violence, Combat Zone Wrestling will give you all the high-stakes, high-flying, and hard-hitting pro wrestling you can handle. Check out their live event schedule, get information on their next iPay-per-view, skim the roster, or shop for CZW merch right now at czwrestling.com. That's czwrestling.com. No dance segments, no endless talk of downloading apps, just wrestling. Combat Zone Wrestling, the ultra-violent underground.
Talk Radio Meltdown.
He just wrote a song, put it on an album. The album came out, went to number one, and a few weeks later, he's like, oh, yeah, by the way, I'm gay, and if you want to know why, listen to this particular track.
Oh,
so everyone did, and they found out. It's like, oh, the song's apparently about how much he wants to fuck a dude. Okay. That's logical.
Well, with the verse like, I want a dick up my ass repeatedly with balls touching my bum.
Is that really the lyric? I'm not familiar with this band.
Talk Radio Meltdown every Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern on morelikeradio.com.
What kind of store only has one thing on the shelf? T-Fury does. Now before you complain, listen to how it works. Each day a brand new t-shirt design becomes available for only 24 hours, then it's replaced by a new design the following day. They're all submitted by freelance artists too, so they're completely unique. They come in multiple colors and sizes, and they're all inspired by nerd and geek culture. And for only $11 per shirt, you can't go wrong. Check out today's limited edition design right now at tinyurl.com/MLRTs. Bookmark it and check back daily for new designs at tinyurl.com/MLRTEES.
Fellas, are you looking to spice things up in the bedroom? Been fantasizing about surprising your lover with an adventurous new toy or adult movie? Well, here's an offer you won't be able to resist. Go to adamandeve.com, and for a limited time only, you'll get 50% off just about any item. But that's not all. Oh, no. When you select your one item at 50% off, you'll also receive 3 free adult DVDs for a little inspiration. Plus, a free extra gift so sensual, we can't mention it on the radio. And to top it all off, we'll even throw in free shipping on your entire order. And no, we're not teasing. So check out adamandeve.com today for this special offer. Get 50% off one item when you type DEAL48 for the offer code upon checkout. When you do, you'll get 3 free DVDs, a free extra gift, and free shipping. Just use offer code DEAL48. At adamandeve.com.
If you weren't able to catch the last Hippo Juice show, here's what you probably missed.
The credibility that they are using as a bouncer at a Colombian strip club. Credibility.
Oh my god, that's hilarious! Let's say it 3 more times.
Oh, God, to save you, gotta save my soul. Oh, down, bow, down, wow, diddy, wow, down, wow.
Listen to the Hippo Juice Show live every Wednesday night, 7 to 9 p.m. on morelikeradio.com.
Tonight at 9.
tale of lust, seduction, and murder on sexy betrayals. Then at 7, some like their murder with a side of sexy biscuits on Southern Fried Homicide. But now, get ready for lust, betrayal, and murder on Hot Load Case Files.
Oh, yeah, 3 of the best shows in a row.
Is the lube over there?
Yeah, I got lube right here.
Well, get over here, big guy.
Yeah. What the hell? Yeah, hi, we aren't getting our informative murder porn. No, none of our channels that have informative murder porn appear to be working. Yeah, the screen just says, how do you tame a horse in Minecraft? Yes, we do have children. A what? A parental lock? Stan, how do you tame a horse in Minecraft?
What?
What is Minecraft and how do you tame a horse in it?
You guys don't need to be watching that stuff.
Oh, come on, you can't block your parents from watching informative murder porn. What, you think if we watch shows about married people killing each other all the time, we're going to go out and do it? That's stupid. I'm not going to go out and kill your mom just because I watch Investigative Discovery, Stan. It'd be impossible to clear away all the DNA evidence anyway. Even if I hired someone else to kill her, I'd have to kill that person too, because 96% of the time, that person eventually tells the truth. I've thought this through a lot. Stan, you're a lousy kid. I wish Jaden Smith was my son.
And welcome back to the second hour of Antisocial Game Radio, live on morelikeradio.com. Basically, as I was saying, BL, before the break, I have that story about... I'm a bit worried now about calling it up because it is from CVG, and you remember last week about how those fucking ads kept popping up? We'll wait and see what happens here. Lucky enough, all the ads are for Call of Duty. Lovely. Enraged Call of Duty player, CVG, summons 60 armed officers to opponent's home. Angry gamer pulls dangerous prank after losing. This is really funny. I watch the Ultimate Sidemen, and Harry, and he does his old FIFA videos, he gets a bit fucking destructive, usually with his chair and his wardrobe. And it's a lot of fake rage, and it's so bullshitty. It really is. But yeah, I say, an irate gamer, frustrated at losing a Call of Duty match against a rival player, made a hoax call that resulted in a SWAT team arriving at his house. Here we go. Yes. Long Island, what do you expect? More than 60 armed officers approached the home of 17-year-old Rafael Castillo of Long Island, New York, after the call was made. The caller, who has yet to be identified, had been playing on the line against Castello at Call of Duty, and became frustrated when a particularly intense game resulted in his defeat. To get his own back on Castillo, the player found out his name and location and called the Long Island police, informing that he was Castillo and had shot his mother and brother dead and was planning to kill more people. Police scrambled a large squad of officers, helicopters, and special ops members to Castillo's house, where after a tense two-hour standoff, it revealed that Castillo's mother and brother were alive and well, as an oblivious Castillo, who had been playing in his bedroom with headphones on, was unaware of the drama going on outside his house until his brother entered his room and told him the police officers were looking for him. He says, I right away had an idea that it was, because I've seen similar pranks on the news. As Castillo told the New York Post, funny. It was probably just an evil little kid, added the police officer at the scene. We went and checked out the place, and there was nothing there. It sucked up a lot of resources, caused traffic problems, and it turned out to be a hoax. But 60 armed officers? Really? You need that many for this shit? It's very funny, but it's I don't know. People take losing games so seriously these days. It's like, just, you know, if it's something like, you know, I mean, just fucking rage quit on the guy or something. I mean, I get pissed off and foul-tempered when it comes to this sort of stuff. And, you know, but I calling, you know, saying that he shot his own mother and brother and was going to kill more people. And it's like, really? Grow up, you fucking idiots. I mean, I don't know how old this person was who made the phone call. I don't know, probably like some 15-year-old or pissed off or some shit like that. I don't know. But let's go into some other stuff. Let's see what we got here, Sony-wise. Here we go. Yeah. Well, I'll go for some Sony stuff and I'll go for some Microsoft stuff. And then we'll just basically see what else we got. Sony adds $200 million in expected loss despite PlayStation 4 success. Sale of PC business and shrinking demand for physical media responsible. Sony has revised its expected losses at the end of the financial year, saying it will lose nearly $200 million more than it originally expected. Fuck, what was it? Here we go. Yeah, games industry explains that the company is now predicting a net loss of 130 billion yen, which is $1.27 billion. That's a hell of a fucking loss. Whereas in February it was forecast to lose about 110 billion, which is about $1.07 billion. Moving back further at the end of the financial year, is fucking numbers, always bullshit. Let's go to the main topic of this fucking thing. Despite the PlayStation 4's continued success and strong sales, I was just looking out the window. fucking ADD is kicking in. The company is still looking, not looking great. Its attitude it's attributed the changes to unforeseen expenses tied to the decision to sell the PC business that it announced in February. Its PC sales for its financial year ended on March 31st and are said to have been lower than anticipated. A Sony statement reads, consequently, Sony expects to record write-downs for excess components in inventory and accrual of expenses to compensate suppliers for unused components ordered for Sony's Sony's spring PC lineup. In addition, certain restructuring changes are expected to be recorded ahead of schedule as a result of these factors. An additional total amount of approximately 30 billion in expenses is to be anticipated to be recorded in the financial year ended, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, just basically Sony's making losses, basically. That's pretty much all it is on that part. But yeah, I mean, it's nice that, you know, their consoles are doing well, but their PC sales are shit. I mean, in all fairness, I had no idea they were doing anything with PC. And, you know, I don't know. Here we are, something for Royce. Sony files guns up trademark. No info on development and developer or platform. A Sony spokesman told IGN that the company has nothing to announce at this time. The trademark filings continue to pile up for Sony ahead of E3, with the company registering guns up last week. The fourth US patent and trademark office filing in the past month, spotted by NeoGAF by Sony Computer Entertainment America. Guns Up is for computer game software, downloadable computer game software via a global computer network. Can you put any computer anymore in this fucking thing? And wireless devices and video game software. However, other than that information, not much is revealed in the April 29th application. Guns Up joins three other game-related Sony trademarks that have been filed in the lead-up to E3, Entwined and Killstrain, as well as Bloodborne. It is not known who's developing Guns Up, probably Royce, or supposedly games planned platform. Guns Up? What the fucking kind of name's that sort of shit? You know, it does sound like a sort of Army of Two or Bulletstorm style game. That's what I'm sort of getting from that. But I don't know. We'll wait till E3. You know, we'll see what we're getting. Nope. Sorry, I'm just trying to find some bits and pieces. Nope. Some bunch of shitty stuff here. Oh, sorry. One sec. I've lost my fucking page here. What a bastard. There we go. Yes, here we go. Let's have a look. Here we go. Yeah, Defiance. Anyone remembers that game? Nope. And TV show? Nope. There we go. Defiance game going free to play this summer. This is from IGN. Starting on PC in June with the PlayStation 3 in July. Treyarch Worlds has announced that Defiance, the MMO shooter tie-in to the sci-fi show of the same name, will become free to play in 2014. Creative lead Trick Dempsey, Jesus Christ, I thought I had a shit name. Told IGN, different partners move at different speeds. So the free-to-play updates will roll out on PC on June 4th, basically a month from now, with console updates following later in the year. Treyarch anticipates a July 15th update for the PlayStation 3, while the studio is currently discussing details about the Xbox 360 release. Yes. God, my voice is going. Jesus. Damn puberty. It's coming back to haunt me. Yes, we make less from the customer with this plan, Dempsey said, but we don't want to be that guy. He continued to explain that many studios do free-to-play in a way that is largely exploitative. Check out the full... Right. Yeah, here we go, yeah. It's a bunch of information and bullshit. No one fucking gives a shit about Defiance, and no one gives a fuck about the TV show either, which supposedly it's on its second season. I don't know. Fuck. And, you know, it's weird, all these other decent shows that are on TV, and probably because it's stuck on sci-fi, it's sci-fi made, so basically they never cancel shows because literally they'd have fucking, I don't know, if they cancelled that, they'd have to fill it up with, I don't know, more Sharknado movies and all that sort of bullshit. Here we go. This is something good and interesting. Hopefully it might lead to something good and interesting. Epic working on high-end console game. Three projects also include Fortnite. It's a mobile title. Epic Games has three games in development: Fortnite, a new mobile game, and a high-end title meant to show off the new generation of consoles. I mean, you know, I'm just speaking out loud for the moment. I mean, we got the big trailer. It was like a sort of it wasn't even gameplay footage. It was basically, you know, honestly, it was a trailer about what the Unreal Engine 4 could do. But as it's Epic's baby, they're probably the best ones out there to actually do something with it. So we should be seeing stuff, I don't know, something that can be done with it. But, you know, we'll wait and see. Epic founder Tim Sweeney told Edge that Fortnite, which takes cues from Minecraft and Gears of War Horde mode, is the furthest along of the three. While Fortnite is meant to show off fucking ads, fuck off, you cunts. Jesus Christ, I can't click on anything with these fucking ads popping up. It's going to push the next generation graphics as you'd always expect. Epic to do, Sweeney said, declining to comment further. And Epic's games developer showed some concept art for which claimed was a new IP at GDC last month. This is about 2 months ago now. Sweeney brought up the two unannounced games in response to speculation that Epic was shifting its focus away from games towards support for the Unreal Engine. The two are inseparable, Sweeney said, with more than 100 Epic engineers working on the game and more than 100 Epic game developers collaborating at any time. However, Sweeney noted that Epic is working to meet the industry's shifting needs. The industry's changing. This generation seems like there are about a third of the people of third of the number of AAA titles in development across the industry, at least there was this time around, and each one seems to have about three times the budget of the previous generation, Sweeney said. I think we're heading towards a future where AAAs are in the minority, which, to be honest, I can see, because we're going to want these games, but it's not a matter of fact that it being a AAA. It's like we want some variety in what we're getting. We don't want the same, the fucking burger references. You know, we don't want a McDonald's first person shooter. We don't want or a KFC one. You know, we want more variety in what we're getting, but. Just, you know, what they want to give us doesn't seem to be of any good, to be honest. Here we go. This is something that sort of, I don't know, it doesn't piss me off as much, but it does make me think, well, I don't know, not enough at too soon, or maybe it should be held back. But this is from Games Radar. Destiny's multiplayer isn't available out of the box, because why? Just a few months ago, developers at Bungie avoided the MMO label, saying they wanted players to redefine the upcoming shooter. After they got some crucial hands-on time. Right now, it seems like gamers might lean more towards describing the game as a first-person MMO than a classic Halo-style shooter, which is good. It shouldn't be compared to Halo, even though I may have tweeted to them about something they tweeted about, you know, who's the person who saved the Earth and from mankind, when the answer was a traveler, I may have put Master Chief to be an arsehole about it. But, you know, whatever. But, yeah, today Destiny flashed its MMO side with an announcement that the multiplayer won't be unlocked right from the start, because it's not fucking ready yet. That's right, like many MMO titles, you're going to have to earn the right to enter PvP arena. Let's keep reading, because I don't believe the whole to unlock it, you have to, you know, if it was ready, and it's bullshit. I mean, if it's ready, it should be available first, it should be when it comes out, but basically, you know, whatever. I'll read this and then I'll comment. Bungie investment lead Tyson Green spoke to Eurogamer and spilled the beans on some multiplayer info. Green said that players are required to put in a couple of hours of game time before hopping into PvP. The reason behind this is that we're fresh characters to jump straight into a competitive multiplayer. They'd get absolutely rocked. Well, yeah, no shit. But, you know, that's what happens. The first time you go into multiplayer stuff, you know, Call of Duty 4, for instance, all the explosions and all the shit was going off. That was crazy. It was fun. So running straight into a match puts brand new players up at a severe disadvantage. They're going to have to explore a little bit in the PvE realm, grab a new gun, and complete a few missions to unlock a focus ability first. Well, yeah, that makes sense. So basically, it is in there, but you've got to do, you know, you've got to do some ground time with it. I mean, it's like people, you know, when Zone of the Enders first came out, people just bought it for the Metal Gear Solid demo. But, I mean, I played the main game. I played Zone of the Enders as well. The game is amazing. But, yeah, it's basically like that. And that's all well and good. It all makes sense. I wouldn't want to be surprised by the crappiness of my character's multiplayer capabilities when I entered the match for the first time. This is, after all, Destiny plays quite a bit differently than the way Halo's multiplayer works. In Halo, everyone starts off on the same footing with equal powerful weapons and abilities to make a balanced shooter experience. Destiny, however, does set everyone at a level playing field. Your guardian takes all of the weapons and skills you've picked up while exploring the world and completing missions, and then brings them into the multiplayer arena, you know, just like an MMO. But yeah, so that's the comparison again. The requirement will probably be familiar and easily acceptable by the MMO crowd. The real question is, how will players looking for a Halo-style experience react to being forced to play a part of the game that might not interest them? It's like telling a shooter fan they have to go through Master Chief single player before going online. And I imagine that some people are going to have a very serious serious problem with that. It also begs the question, who exactly are the developers making this game for? Because at this, the shooter and MMO audiences have very different expectations. Should Destiny have a multiplayer restriction, or would it be better just to let players dive right into the deep end? And even if they don't know how to swim, the eventual answer will take care of them. Eventual answers we get will be telling of the kind of game Destiny really is at its core. Now, I'm not too fussed about. I mean, my main worry is that we won't be able to have. If anyone remembers what Fable 2 was like with the little orbs, you know, you can go into other people's game, you can have people join yours. I want that. I'm not worried about PvP. I mean, I've never been a big PvP fan in anything because I don't. It's not that PvP doesn't work. It's just. When it comes to PC stuff, you know, it's like, okay, yep, I'm a level whatever paladin, and my opponent is a level whatever black mage, and now we're just going to go and beat the shit out of each other. It's not like that. It just makes me think of Pong and how it's like you're both the same, and it's just like a tiny matter of skill. But I mean, as it says there about, you know, go through the game, get your guns and weapons. It's like, well, why don't you go through the game a few times, get better and better weapons? If it has some sort of progression, weapons progression, like sort of Borderlands does, then you have, you know, you, once you've beaten your level cap, you'll still get access to the bigger and better guns when you go on the harder and tougher bosses. And then go into PvP with like a massive whatever gun and just kill your enemy in 5 seconds flat. And, you know, it doesn't seem to be, I don't know, interest me with the PvP stuff. But as long as the game, like, works, and we don't have to worry about stuff, and we're getting what we should be getting when it's ready, when it's out, you know, we don't have to wait for, I want to pick up Trials Fusions, but the multiplayer still isn't working, and it doesn't seem like it's going to be done anytime soon. And it's like, well, that's an unfinished game. The game's not ready yet. The game should come out with multiplayer. It should be, you know. But, I mean, if you've got to play through the game for a little bit to unlock it, that's fine with me. That's fine. As long as it's fucking there and ready and working, then you'll get no complaints from me and you'll get no complaints from anyone else. Otherwise, you know, you're going to get a whole fucking shitstorm of people wanting to kick the shit out of you. Where was it? I had something else on Destiny. Here we go. Yeah, sorry. This is the thing I was talking about earlier with the Destiny stuff being... was it 500 million? Yeah, this is from IGN as well. Destiny is a $500 million gamble for Activision, says Kotick. Could be the most expensive video game ever created. All right, scroll down. Destiny could... The figure comes courtesy of CEO Bobby Kotick at last week's Milken conference via Reuters. It says... And dwarfs the amount spent on most games and even Hollywood films. It's worth noting the number doesn't solely cover development, but all the other expenses associated with manufacturing the title, including marketing, packaging, infrastructure, support, royalties, other costs. Yeah, of course, naturally. I mean, this game looks monstrous. And to be honest, it's good that it's with Activision because, you know, fucking... They've got all our Call of Duty money, and you know, from over the past 10 years. Seeing as Activision and Bungie jointly hope the title will have a 10-year lifespan. I'm hoping it does. I want to play this forever and ever. But side note here. If this is as good as it's going to be, I might not pick. So I'm finding myself in two minds. I want to play Final Fantasy 14 now. And then wait for Destiny, but I'm thinking maybe stick with Destiny. I mean, I'm hoping this E3. I mean, I want in-depth videos. I want to know about the classes. I want to know about every damn fucking thing before I start playing this game. And all of you lot should as well, because you know this game. I want this game to be my game of the year because it looks pretty fun. And suppose I haven't really played that much this year that could be game of the year. But, you know, I mean, we're still waiting on the new Assassin's Creed. And we're still waiting on the new Batman game, but you know, that's all coming. But I think this is going to be, you know, I want this game to be everything that I want it to be, really. Yeah, but you know, I'm hoping it does that. But yeah, I don't know. I'll keep reading. But yeah, 10-year lifespan, blah 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 blah. Where was I? Yep, between 15 and 16 million copies for the. 15 to 16 million copies of the $60. A game would likely have to be bought in order for this to happen. According to an analyst, it's... 15 or 16 million. Holy shit. It's a big ask for an unproven franchise, but thankfully, there's some serious pedigree behind it. We have recently heard competitive multiplayer in the game won't be available straight away, while discussing the future of the Forge-style user-created content in Destiny as well as how items trade will function at launch. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, it's just bullshit. But yeah, I mean, E3 is where Bungie are going to have to pull out all the stops. And, you know, they're going to have to sit down with, I mean, whoever the fuck still does. I mean, it's the thing, as we have, we don't have G4 anymore and all these sort of like shows and events and stuff. It's like, well, these people are going to have to sit down and talk to somebody about this sort of stuff. I mean, I remember going back to watching Skyrim when that first came out. You had, you know, little old Todd Howard, all, you know, 5'2" of himself, sitting next to, was it Morgan Webb or some brainless bimbo, about games and shit. And, you know, saying about how, you know, the game was going to play, what you could do, stuff like that. We need something like this. And as, you know, G4 has, you know, been turned into Esquire TV, which, fucking waste of damn time that is, we're not really going to get anything like this, I don't think. I mean, that you know, Bungie and Game are doing this competition where you can go to, you know, E3 and get all this stuff sorted out, and, you know, you can, you know, play the game and you get a copy of Destiny on a whatever console, and, you know, so I've entered that twice with the show's Twitter, and, you know, so if I win, yay, if I don't, whatever, I'm still buying the game and I'll still have a console to play it on when it comes out anyway, so it's not a big loss. But I mean, I do actually want to pick up the pre-order it at game so I can get that hover bike thing I talked about last week, which looks sweet, mainly for the old stat bonuses. And hopefully it's not one of those one use and done. Like, if I, you know, get off my bike in a whatever game, I can still have my bike that we still stored at my base or whatever we get in. But yeah, you know, but that's the thing with games like this. It's like, I want that multi, you know, the MMO experience, but I don't want to have to, you know, put my hand in my pocket every month and pull out some coins just to keep playing a game that I've already paid for. I mean, just, we shouldn't have to do that. It's bullshit. We really shouldn't. All right, let's look for some more stuff. Actually, I'm burning through topics and I'm burning through time. Let's have a look. Where was that? I saw something earlier. I can't, here we go. Yes, there we are. Shit, wrong fucking thing. Where's that? Come here, you bastard. I'm trying to find this article. I clicked on the... There we go. Yeah, Mass Effect 4... in the middle of development, this is from IGN, is a full update coming at E3? Question mark. BioWare has revealed... Oh, sorry, scroll too far again. Bloody hell, too button clicky these days. Yeah, here we go. Yeah, BioWare has revealed the development on the next Mass Effect title is progressing well. Explain that it's somewhere around the middle of development, which is very good. I mean, I don't think we're going to get... So if they're in the middle of development and they've been making it for, what, 2 years now, we might get a teaser, possibly, like pre-alpha footage teaser at E3. But we'll definitely see something next year, because I don't think... What year is it now? 2014? 15? I don't think it will come out until at least 2016, I think. That's my estimations. In a tweet, BioWare Montreal studio director Yannick Roy responded to a fan asking whether the game was in early stages or late stages of development, to explain neither statement was technically accurate. He basically says, too late for one, too early for the other. So I guess we're somewhere in the middle. That's not right. That's not bad. It's good to know. At least, you know, so basically it's probably at the pre-alpha stage. Probably. But I mean, at least they have, it must be at the pre-alpha stage at least, because they must know the story and the characters and all this sort of stuff. They should be getting around to doing voice acting, and, you know, it's a couple of years away, but it's there, you know. He says, while we have no idea about when the game will be released, we do know that we're due an update sometime this year. So far, all we've had a few teaser images were that it'll apparently be fresh but recognisable and may not relate to Shepard at all. Well, maybe it shouldn't have to, because Mass Effect is the Mass Effect relay. It's the old spinny thing on the big sort of thing that looks like the energy sword from Halo. Plasma sword, whatever that fucking swordy, I don't know, jabby thing. I'm just motioning my hand in the air. I don't know. BioWare has said in the past that it doesn't want the game to be viewed as a Mass Effect as... See, here we are. BioWare has said in the past that it doesn't want the game to be viewed as Mass Effect 4. As such, a title does it a disservice. Whatever it ends up... See, that's the thing. It might not... It's basically Mass Effect 4, but they're not going to call it Mass Effect 4 because, you know, it's BioWare's next sci-fi game set in the Mass Effect universe that we know of. And it might be a prequel, which I don't know. I mean, would we want to see a prequel to Mass Effect? Would it be... God, that would be so fucking weird. You know, like about sort of... Oh, God... Oh, leaves me a bad taste in my mouth now thinking about that sort of thing. Could we get like about Commander Shepard, the early years, you know, sort of, you know, with Rugrats and you had all grown up. It could be like that in reverse where you had all grown up, then you had like the Rugrats. It's like, yeah, we have like young Commander Shepard doing his whatever it is he did and got famous for, whichever way you chose his story. And oh, it might not even feature him at all. We don't know. It's all random, conjecture, bullshit, stuff, thoughts in the ether. But I say, E3, a month away now. I can't wait. So much information. And, you know, as usual, I'll be updating you daily. And basically, I mean, it's going to be a really good E3. Let's go for something else. Okay. Here we go. Yes. Something I talked about. Infinity Ward and Neversoft. Merging companies. Infinity Ward, the developers of Call of Duty Ghosts, the most recent installment. Oh, I see. So, hey, that's an idea, right? So, Infinity Ward did make Ghosts, and Sledgehammer makes Advanced Warfare. What the fuck's happening with Treyarch? Are they going to make the one after? That would make sense. Choice, that would make sense, actually, thinking about it. If, you know, because it takes so long to make these games and how much money... So basically, it's like we're going to get into it being a 2-year cycle. It's going to be now a 3-year cycle. So we get, you know, an Infinity Ward game every 2 years, every 3 years, and you know, whatever. But yes, we'll be merging with Neversoft, the developers behind Tony Hawk's Pro Skater, and the Guitar Hero games to form one big super studio, as confirmed in a recent interview with Eric Hirschberg, CEO of Activision. Sorry, scroll down this page. As you know, Microsoft and Infinity Ward teamed up for the development of Call of Duty Ghosts, wrote Hirschberg, and through that process, it became clear that two studios have very complementary skill sets. Between these two excellent studios, it seems like a single-player super studio could emerge. As already mentioned, we are merging these two very talented teams, and obviously... had to choose a name for the combined studio, so the Infinity Ward brand is based blah, 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 tied to the Call of Duty franchise. I am so having trouble with so many fucking words. I just keep stuttering and bullshitting. You know. I don't know. This is a sensible choice. While it would be strange to not see the Neversoft logo on future games. The important thing, which are the Neversoft team's talent, creativity, professionalism, and commitment to creative experience, all remain unchanged as part of this new chapter. Which is quite funny when you think about the fact that, you know, I mean, there's so many studios that just make the same old game, and it just basically gets worse and worse over time. Now, as I say, my negativity towards this new Call of Duty. With a whole bunch of people's negativity across the internet, and you know Neversoft, who make the Tony Hawk's games, which have basically got shitter and shitter and shitter as the games have gone on. You know, and I think about stuff like was it Beenox who do the Spider-Man games. I suppose this new Spider-Man game, as long with the movie, is pretty shit. So you know, fuck, it's not looking good. But I mean, hopefully there'll be something decent out of this. We'll have to wait and see. Let's find something else. There was something I wanted to talk about, but literally I've got about 20 minutes left, and I probably won't have time for it. Here we go. Yes. Injustice Gods Among Us 2, reportedly coming. This came out the other week. Yes, Injustice Gods Among Us is reportedly set to receive a sequel in the future, according to reports from WonderCon. Fucking hell, what's wrong with me? According to Furious Fanboys, Injustice Gods Among Us 2, or whatever it ends up being called, was briefly mentioned in a segment discussing the upcoming Arkham Knights, due out later this year. So I'm just having a look at the bits and pieces they've got here. Ultimate Edition? Okay, that sounds cool. We currently don't know who's developing the game, and there's no word on a fixed release date. Well, to be honest, assuming Netherrealm are back at the helm, one might assume the studio is working on a new Mortal Kombat title before returning to DC. If this is the case, a new release next year may be unlikely. Then again, if a new studio is heading up the project, a release in 2015 is beyond the realms of possibility. Yeah, I mean, I've got something here about the new Mortal Kombat. Hang on one second, let me try and find this article. Here we go. Yeah, this is ties in perfectly. This is also from IGN. Mortal Kombat creator Ed Boon counted down to something. Is a new Mortal Kombat on the cards? I don't know. Mortal Kombat creator Ed Boon has started posting a countdown on his Twitter feed, leading to speculation that the next entire entry in the gruesome beat-em-up franchise will be revealed imminently. Sorry, wrong words. So far, two tweets have been posted. The first asks the square root of 841, which works out as 29. The second asks how many days are in February, when there isn't a leap year, which is 28. At this rate, the countdown should expire before E3 around June 2nd. The most recent project NetherRealm worked on was Injustice Gods Among Us, and rumours have been rife that a sequel is on the way. Having said that, it's been around 2 years since a new Mortal Kombat game was released, and 24-star Kiefer Sutherland recently told us he's completed work on a new entry in the series, which hasn't been announced yet. So what he's doing, I don't know, he's working on the Mortal Kombat game? What the fuck is it with Kiefer Sutherland? Why is he involved with Mortal Kombat? I mean, he's already involved with Metal Gear Solid, which he shouldn't be. And he did Call of Duty a few years back. He's getting everywhere. It's like, you know, and we've got this new series of 24 coming out, which I don't see the fucking point of. But yeah, I mean, I want a new Mortal Kombat, and I would love, I'd love a new, what do you call it? I'd love a new Injustice game. I mean, the last one was pretty sweet. I was talking about to my mate about this at work today. I was like, yeah, I want a new story-esque beat-em-up where you go, you have your story, and then it sort of shifts into a fight. And it's like, you know, it's smooth transition between a story, and then there's some angst, and then there's a bit of anger, and then they basically start beating the shit out of each other and, you know, doing whatever. But yeah, I say, I'm looking forward to what we're going to hear. And so 2nd of June, we're going to be hearing stuff, which is nice, I guess. But we'll see. Here we go. Something as you'd expect from these two countries. Wolfenstein The New Order to be censored in Germany and Austria. The altered content is in regards to Nazi imagery. But Bethesda assures the violence will remain the same. Naturally, sure. We had with previous Wolfenstein games, and basically any game which sets place in Germany, you have to take out all the swastikas due to, you know, the war and all that sort of shit. You know, which makes sense, I guess. As it would. Games in Germany and Austria will play a different version. Gamers in Germany and Austria. We'll be playing a different version of Wolfenstein The New Order to games in other parts of the world due to laws regarding the use of Nazi-themed content. I'm surprised they actually send the game, to be honest. It'd be like fucking Australia. As detailed by Bethesda, The New Order contains Nazi-related symbols and content, which is forbidden by German law. Violations may result in confiscation of the game all the way through up to financial high financial penalty or up to 3 years in prison. This applies to both physical and digital copies of the game. That's quite funny, right? Germany and Austria banning this game, banning the use of imagery. So basically, any other if you wanted to import a copy of the game, you wanted to import a copy, say someone from Germany could import a copy from the UK and have it sent to them. But if they're found to be playing this game, I mean, what the fuck? Are you going to send a secret police round? I mean, you're going back to fucking the World War II times with this sort of bullshit. But, I can perfectly understand it. I mean, Germany and Austria want to, distance themselves. I mean, it's been like 70 fucking years. I think we can move on from all the shit that happened in World War II. I mean, yes, I know it was bad and all that bullshit, but it's like, okay, it happened. You don't need to keep bringing this shit up. It's like, just move the fuck on, people. I mean, as from what I'm hearing politics-wise, Germany's doing a lot for the world and helping out all the financial problems and shit like that. It's like, well, you're in all technology. I mean, fucking half my technology board equipment stuff is all German anyway, so they're great for audio. So to get around this, a different version of the game will be sold in Germany and Austria with offending Nazi content removed or changed. PC versions of the unaltered international version will be geo-locked so that imported copies cannot be activated within Germany or Austria. So basically, do yourself a favour and buy the disc-based version, which is basically why disc-based games are better, because you don't have to worry about missing out on stuff. All these PC master race, and you've got to have it geo-locked. That's kind of ironic. Bethesda assures fans that all these changes will not affect any content other than the Nazi themes. Basically, you can't see any swastikas. And although there are some legally required differences, the level of violence and action remain the same as the international version. Yeah, which is good. So basically, it's coming out really, really soon. Wolfenstein New Order will launch globally on May 20th for the PlayStation 4, Xbox One, PS3, Xbox 360, and PC. The upcoming shooter will also have matching resolution and frame rate on PS4 and Xbox One to help. I'm looking forward to this game. I want to pick it up. I'm probably going to buy it second hand, like once it's been out for a while, because I want to play it. I mean, I can't remember what the fucking last one was. I think we had it on the PlayStation 2, possibly. But yeah, last one I played. I know we had like a Wolfenstein on the PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360, but I played one before that one, and it was good. A lot of fun. The boss was really easy because I was tooled up like a motherfucker. It was really impressive. Let's find some other stuff, because literally I'm running out of time as I usually am. But I will find... What's this? Hang on, let's have a look at this. That's something for a later date. I did find some article about story stuff, which, as you know, I love my stories, like the game development, that sort of stuff, but I will come back to it. Here we go, yeah. From Software's rumoured to be working on Project Beast. One sec, what's this fucking thing keeps popping up? What the fuck is this shit? Oh, for fuck's sake. Now IGN's popping up with their fucking... Oh, here we go, it's gone. From Software, rumoured to be working on Project Beast. Dark Souls developer From Software is rumoured to be working on a new game codenamed Project Beast. If a clutch of unverified screenshots posted on NeoGAF are to be believed. Several of them were thrown out recently by user Hurler, who picked them up from 4chan. The screenshots which depict a shotgun-wielding character exploring ruined temples and cemeteries populated by undead creatures. This sounds fun. fun. That's what we need in games. And this game sounds fun, and it's going to be worth playing. As it's From Software, which are great developers. They are, because they are. The original 4chan post was reported to have described a giant mind flayer-type enemy. A character placing a shining magic sword into a pedestal at the base of a statue, and the text, "This is a nightmare," among other things, and there was no insight as to how the images ended up on that site, So at the very least, enjoy the very clever fan art. Yeah, all total rumor speculation until we hear otherwise. They've reached out to Sony to Japan and will update anything that's coming on. Yeah, so basically we get all these screenshots. Actually, it's pretty sweet. Yeah, this looks one. It's one. I'd say it's one to watch because if it's as good as it looks, I will be interested in playing this when it does come out. I mean, because I've still got that the Evil Within. I'm looking forward to that. It's going to be so scary. It'll be so gory and so fun. But yeah, I'm looking for some. I want some scary games. I want something to scare me. Apart from seeing my sister without makeup, but I want to see some decent stuff. What we got? Let's try and find something else to wrap up the show. I've got a couple of minutes, and then I'll sort of do the old bits and pieces. Where's that fucking article I had earlier? Here we go. Yeah. Yeah. Here we go. Zynga founder Pinker steps down as chief product officer. Former Microsoft execs recruited amidst executive restructuring. Zynga founder Mark Pincus has stepped down from his role as chief product officer, the firm has announced. Founder Mark Pincus has decided to move on from his operational role as chief product officer at Zynga to focus on serving as chairman of the board of directors, said Zynga CEO Don Matrick in a letter to employees, which was published publicly on Wednesday. In a statement of his own, Pinker said, "While I'll still keep an office at Zynga and be active in supporting the company, I will not have an operating role. Most importantly, I remain Zynga's largest shareholder and biggest believer." This is the second major change to Pinker's role, which within the firm, inside a year after having handing the CEO role to Matrick, the former head of Microsoft Interactive Entertainment Businesses, in July of last year. Yeah, so basically some big shit going over at Zynga, but as usual, no one gives a fucking monkeys because it's Zynga. But yeah, this pretty much wraps up the show for this week. Thanks to everyone for listening and downloading. Don't forget, go on iTunes, More Like Radio. Leave us a review. Five stars would be nice. It's one of the things that we get, try and get us out there. I mean, the downloads are great. I mean, we're getting thousands and thousands of downloads a day, thousands and thousands of downloads a month, millions of downloads a year, and, hundreds of millions. We're getting everywhere. But it's like, we can get further, but it takes, help from your good selves to do it. If you want to email the show, it's antisocialgameradio@yahoo.co.uk. Also, you want to join our Facebook group. There's a couple of people joined recently. facebook.com/group/MLRGamerLobby. Also, like me on Facebook. It's facebook.com/AntisocialGamerRadio. And also, you can follow us on Twitter @MLRGamerRadio. It's been a good show this week. And time flies. It really fucking does. I sit here for 2 hours and my back's killing me now because I'm sort of leaning over into the microphone. I'm not exactly sure what topic is for next week. I think there's something I was talked about last week, which I can't remember, which will probably be what it is, but I'll have a listen and I'll sort something out. But I say up next is a replay of Alcohol by Volume from last week because Kevin's got other stuff to do this week. But I think Unsigned Heights should be live, and later we'll have the triumphant return of one Joel Dutch van Wingerden. Basically, he's out of the big house. He's got some ice resting on his arsehole after being, buggered senselessly. But he's back doing Dutch and Roy, so I think I'm going to stay up for a good few hours and listen to that. That should be all pretty good. That's pretty much it from me, to be honest, people. Don't forget, listen live. Get in the old chat room. 9 o'clock UK time, 4 p.m. Eastern. I'll let you work out the old rest of the time zones, wherever it is you are listening to this, and, whenever. But this has been Antisocial Game Radio, and I will see you lot again next week.
fucking Ashley brought anything to the table?
Oh my God, what a bag of burden that British piece of shit was. Holy shit.
A woman can pilot.
From everyone here at BBC Radio 4, this is Alice Arnold, hoping that you sleep well and wishing you a very good night. Good night.
The area forecast for the next 24 hours. Viking north at Sierra, south at Sierra, south or southwest, or northwest, or northeast or east. Occasional rain, wintry showers, occasional rain, rain or showers, occasional rain, moderate or poor.